All right. Hello, everybody. This is a snowy day in Dallas. Ollie's got the flu, so this is what you get.
Somebody show me. Your ear, Harry.
Oh, you put it on your ear?
Clip that.
If my head goes like this, there's your first clue. If I start saying things that nobody can understand.
He started communicating with Venus last night.
Look, there's Russ.
Well, this is pretty good attendance for this funny day.
Now, will you pick on yourself?
Yeah. See, that's the problem. You sit in that chair, the dynamic is just too convenient.
Right. So even why would you have to lean into?
Because nobody else sits there. I don't know.
Think about it.
I know why. I don't want to confess yet. I need a beating every morning to get going.
I can't see out. I feel constrained.
You want to flip the blinds a little bit?
I want to flip the blinds.
Oh.
This will keep your mind from wandering. Oh, wait a minute. I can't see that girl when she walks her dog.
Let's see. I'm going to talk about what we talked about last night as soon as I find it.
Psalms 47.
It was 47, wasn't it?
Psalms
47. There it is. All right. Psalm 47. It's pretty fresh. Fresh news. All right. Page 630 in the stolen Gideon Bibles.
937 in my large print.
Okay. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. Selah. Stop. Read no further. This is what I want to talk about. The idea of God choosing our inheritance for us. This is what we discussed last night, and it really sparked a lot of thought. And the fact that God has chosen what will be for us. Who in here chose this place? Ronnie, right. How many times have you left? Trying to get away. Many people have not accepted this as their inheritance. But what is your inheritance? The inheritance is the opposite of what you would choose for yourself. And I personally, thinking about it, had I been able to choose my own inheritance and have my life come out like I wanted it, it would have been different than this. I would have chosen some rock and roll empire or something stupid, and then I would look. You know, I think about that, how dumb I would be right now. I mean, I'm bad enough as it is.
Aging rock impresario.
Exactly. Oh, I see some of those guys, and I thought, good night. That would be horrible. And yet, and God saw that that wasn't good for this guy. And so he gave me what I have. And I've been to family gatherings and these gatherings, and I look around, and I feel like the wealthiest guy in town. It's unbelievable what I enjoy in this world. I have all the friends I can handle. You know, I've got a business that just keeps going. It shouldn't, but it does. And it provides more or less, you know, which is good enough. If it did a whole lot better, I'd always be choosing to, okay, now that I got this handled, let's go somewhere else and do something different. I'd take some of my really great ideas and develop them and become another type of impresario. You know, but God has chosen my inheritance for me, and he has sought to not allow me to be the great success in the world that I always thought I wanted to be. He's allowed me to be completely successful in a world that is filled with peace, love, joy, contentment, everything that really satisfies the human being. And that is our inheritance. And I've talked to all of you in here. I mean, everybody's kind of in the same place. Ole would be out trying to be president. That's what he wanted to do. Can you imagine the pain of being the president of this country?
And for everyone else.
That was Wade.
Maybe worse than Bush.
Yeah.
You don't hear that, Barack.
That's Wade.
Barack
Ole's speech writer.
Yeah. Ole Obama. Anybody feel the same way?
The thing that struck me was that it said just before then, when you're reading, he is a great king over all the earth, and that's the part that we have a hard time, you know, because there's vast areas of our existence that we don't see that he is the king over. Either we want to be the king, or we think this other thing is the king, or something else is controlling things. And if he is the king, then he's naturally going to be choosing everything for us, whatever the encounter.
But in verse 7, it actually says that he is the king.
For God is the king of all the earth. There it is.
Isn't that what John just said?
Yeah.
See, that confirms what you said.
I just wanted him to know that
we agree with you, Ronnie.
In verse 2, then, down in 7, it says clearly that he is.
God is over us. What kind of sausage do you have?
And yesterday we discussed the fact that we are servants. And we're more or less rebellious servants, you might say.
Reluctant servants.
Reluctant at times. And yet when seen correctly, that is what we are. And the bondservant, we had studied that in the past, where the bondservant had to nail his ear to the doorpost. Think about that. We don't require that around here. We've done other things. We've never done that. But typologically, that's what we've done. We've nailed our ear to the doorpost, the place where we hear. And this is where we hear. If you're not hearing the things of the kingdom and you keep showing up, there's something wrong with you. This is where the kingdom of God is preached. And again, that's what we talked about yesterday. The separation of those two kingdoms is made clear here. And the more we meet and talk and the more we see, the more we understand that we are not of this world or of the kingdom of Satan, but we are delivered into the kingdom of God. And this is what separates and tries to not allow us to comprehend that massive difference. It's always trying to co-opt the things of this kingdom, bring them into this kingdom, get them to work together so that we can continue our lives and in our own Godhead and not have to be servants. But once it's made clear the evil of that, then we run from it. We repent. We can't repent fast enough because we realize that the kingdom of this earth is quite temporary. And for some of us, it's coming to a rapid winding up. And then what if you gain the entire world and lose your soul? That becomes more and more clear. What was it? Someone, I think, said that yesterday. You don't go to your grave with a semi-trailer. Did you say that? Pulling your possessions behind you to be buried with you. That's not how it works. You go out with nothing.
Then they have a sale and people dig through your stuff and maybe pay 5 cents for something you thought was
extremely precious. Yeah. So. And this is... These are the places that when this is opened up, the best you can do is agree with God. And if you see idolatry in your life that is exposed, you agree with God so that repentance can take place. If there's no agreement with God that you're serving an idol here or there or wherever when it's revealed, then he lets you go on to serve that idol until it runs its course. But hopefully when it's exposed, you grab it. Yes, there's another one. I know this happens to me all the time in here. My idols are exposed, and I can't tell you the joy it is to see them so that I can turn from them, because I don't know all the crap I'm subject to that's trying to control me. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. But the repentance from it is the place, and that allows me to find my inheritance, or to recognize the inheritance that's already been given.
Yeah, this, when God says He chooses the inheritance, He also brings it to pass, so we don't have to be,
yeah,
you know, having to.
We don't have to try and pursue it. In fact, that
out how to make it happen or something.
Yeah.
Because this is you know the one we read when they were circling Jericho and everything, clap your hands, that was part of the taking of the land, and so it was something God totally did.
Yeah, they were obedient.
All they had to do was look like fools marching around doing this thing.
And then they
at least do that. But
they shout.
There's more going on than we can actually even understand about our inheritance.
Yeah,
the inheritance is Christ Himself, manifested through all these things that are happening to us.
Yeah, in that. For the second part of the sentence, they're not even a period, they're just a comma, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob whom he loved. What was the deal with Jacob? What was he all about?
Remember, his name was changed.
Yeah. His name was changed because he wrestled with the angel, and the angel wouldn't let him go until he admitted who he was, till he, you know, come out with it. Have you wrestled with the angel to the point where you admit who you are and you see very clearly and there's no option? Jacob, the name is, this is what we've seen, that it's the way of the snake.
His inheritance is actually due to Esau.
He stole it.
So the inheritance that was due someone else was due to him.
Yeah. What?
The inheritance that was due someone else was
yeah.
due to him.
Yeah, that's good. He ripped his brother off.
Spiritually, his name was changed, and that was his inheritance too. The idea of, Jacob Israel.
That's a big change from the way of the snake to she who sees. Was it she who sees God? So he was the just like us. Our names have been changed. And your name is what your identity. Can you imagine how closely you're tied to your identity? You work all your life to gain an identity, to be somebody, and you work it all the time. You come up with how to improve yourself. You go to college. You get a good job. You do whatever you can to become something.
Butner Construction Company.
Yes, and you advertise, and you identify. And then
your phone number.
For a good remodeling project.
Call somebody else.
Any testimonies? Yeah, you try to build up a reputation, and in a moment's time, your reputation can just be destroyed in this world.
I was talking to a friend yesterday. Her dad had died recently. Talking about the vanity of life and things happen, and what are we here for? She's talking about how at least there were a lot of nice things were said about her dad at his funeral. I said, well, even the people that said those things are going to die. So even that, your reputation and death is vanity.
Yeah. It only lasts such a short amount of time. It's gone. I think of movie stars a lot of times, how hard they work to become this great famous person. Then they die and they rot. And then people talk about them, but what good does that do? Yeah, it means nothing. So it's like you put your treasure where your heart is. There's your treasure. Where is your treasure?
I'm going to go ahead and make a popular culture reference since Ole's not here.
I won't chastise you hardly at all.
At the Golden Globes Monday night, the support man is the head of the foreign press. unwittingly, whoever wrote a speech for him should be shot, but he quoted Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard, when she, this horrible old woman, looks at the audience and goes, "Stars are ageless," and she's this horrible old woman. This guy quoted it by pointing out the old stars in the audience and the fact that they were nominated again as they were years earlier. And
if said, anybody ever seen
and it just movie, proves stars are ageless. I was like, God. Oh my God. Anyway.
Who was the Golden Gloves champ there last night? What was who won those?
It was a kid from Fort Worth. 150-pound kid from Fort Worth.
Knocked him out.
I didn't watch it because I'm not a fan.
Sorry.
Box.
Stars are not ageless.
Anybody else on this? This inheritance?
All the stuff about Ecclesiastes we've been reading. Like, you have to see that before you will even want the inheritance that God has prepared for you. Otherwise, you'll always be trying to get some inheritance that you choose. So it's Ecclesiastes. It fits in perfectly.
Good point.
What we've been doing, because Ecclesiastes is disavowing you of all the ideas and imaginations you've had about your
abilities.
You would choose.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's of value. So then you receive God's inheritance. And spoils your life.
I was thinking about a similar point where in the past we've read about God tells Israel when they're in battle, go and kill everybody. Kill the women, kill the children, kill the dogs. Don't leave anything alive. Man goes, oh, well, yeah, but we'll save the best, you know, for you to for sacrifice. Or we'll, you know, not do exactly what you say, but we'll come close. Because we don't want to kill everybody. What about the children? We don't want to kill the children. But the picture there is that God knows that if you leave any speck of flesh alive, it will grow up and eventually try and usurp the kingdom. The smallest little bit. And that's a picture of, for us, our, what little bit of flesh are you saving? You hear all these teachings, you go through Ecclesiastes, you hear it over and over, and you agree and you agree, but what little thing are you holding back that you think you might need for the future, you know? God wants it all dead. That's why, I mean, that can you see the picture of he allows the flesh of his son, you know, the fact that he was half man, that had to go. So Jesus had to die. And a real, you know, he went to the grave. Well, your little bit of righteousness and your little bit of flesh stuff, if you can see it, turn from it. Let it be turned from. I mean, God will do it, but it's...
You have to see it, but you can't just strive to stamp it out yourself, because then you're just looking at yourself completely. But if you see it, all of a sudden you're like, oh.
Yeah, repentance is not something hard to do. Repentance is just an automatic thing. It's not like, oh, I got to try and repent of this. You know, no, you see it, you'll turn. Well, I thought that's enough.
Just as a footnote, we only put in that Jesus was fully God and fully man. There's lots of wars fought over all that stuff.
It's a little cold.
It's been nailed down pretty much what it means.
Yeah. Fully God and fully man. Did I say anything wrong?
Well, I think it was some small heresy back in the early 3rd century or something.
Why are you bringing that up?
Huh?
Why are you bringing that up?
Just trying to one-up you.
John gets last word, unless somebody else wants to say something.
There's one last thing you have to say.
I'm not going to say it yet.
When Ole closes this.
I know, but I'm holding off. There might be another comment. I want everybody to have all opportunities.
But I want to hear that.
Your silence is a witness against you. That's one. All right, take a big guy.
Oh, okay.
You can't stop until that's said. See how good it works, though.